I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
You know. But the way that this happens is because of all the things that we've talked about here on the second half of the show, which is there is such organizational rot because of the nepotism, because of the cronyism, because of the lack of meritocracy at the very, very top of the, like, if, it's just like with stars on your team, right? Like ask any, you know, one of the quotes that they always give or they always get from coaches after they win a championship is, man, how did you guys do it this year? And the first thing that they always say is, well, you know, it starts at the top and a superstar bought into what I'm selling. And then it allowed me to get this message through to the rest of the roster. Same thing happens at the top of the organization too. If the very top of the organization, you have a bunch of dummies who just keep on making these decisions and keep telling each other that, like, we are great at this because that's all that we listen to is us. Of course you're going to run into this where not even accidentally you've beaten this team.
Messed up that LeBron keeps kind of being a little bit mean when he tells us to make the team better. Like, I don't know. Why do we want to listen to him?
Hey, but at least he told them happy National Women's Day that one time. And that's all that they were looking for in that one clip. But no. All right. We have to get out of here relatively soon. So I do have some super comments to get to, which means I'm going to play this just once. Because the levels on it are still off, but here we go one more time.
Fuck Boston!
Justin Tindall writing in, Ham is trash, but D'Lo, Rui, Austin, been no-shows the series. Why would Atlanta or Cleveland want any part of these players? Because we hope so, Justin. Because we hope so.
Do we hope so? Like,
no.
It's a salary relief for Atlanta.
Only for... I'm curious. I want to know what people think about this because I'm personally, I would rather have DeJounte Murray than Trae Young. Like I
100%
by pretty easily, you know, to me,
it'd cost less.
What's that?
Like it would cost less to go get DeJounte as well. Right. You would probably
even
wouldn't have
if
to
they
throw
the same amount.
That feels like undervaluing Trae Young, like a little bit. I'm asking the question, Trae Young,
if you disagree,
and like I feel
like
that's like a little strong, but I mean, I don't know if you three all agree.
Trae Young has won what? He's had 1 year where he's won a playoff series.
He has as many conference finals appearances as Darvin.
Doesn't play any. Darvin has a championship as an assistant coach, though.
Oh, true. Beating that Trae Young team, actually.
Beating that Trae Young team.
Yeah. Just putting on the court, though, like putting another 5'11 guard next to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not arguing for them to trade for Trae Young. I just don't like, you know. Like his offensive production is like so far outstrips DeJounte's that like it's just, you know, like at the very least, like you don't have to worry about him sort of tucking tail like D'Lo in the playoffs or whatever. Like he's going to go out there and get him up. And like, sure, he's going to probably give some of it back on the other end, but
a lot
still,
of it, you know, most a lot of it back.
Yeah. I mean, but like more than D'Lo? I don't know. Like, I guess probably.
Well, yeah,
a
but it's
bit,
not just D'Lo. It'd be D'Lo, yeah. Austin, and another like set of assets to get him. You know, it's not a like for like.
No,
situation.
I mean that's fair. I still think that I would rather have Trae than DeJounte, but I don't really particularly think that either is the solution.
I mean, Trae went 4-for-12 in their lone play-in game and was a -27 in his 43 minutes.
Granted, he was coming off of the injury and all of that, but
they
like it's always in the plane.
He came
is the
back
problem.
From the injury.
Harrison called it the Trae-in game. Like
that's correct.
So, but like, this is also part of the problem here, right? Is that like after this series, after watching the Lakers get pushed around now for what will be 12 straight games by the same organization, everybody knows that the Lakers are going to go and pursue a tiny person. They did it this year where their biggest free agent signing was 5'10 Gabe Vincent, and they're going to do it again this next offseason when they go and pursue a 5'9 okay. Trae Young.
Please respect Lisan Al Gabe. You know, it's...
Jason Kelly writing, LeBron going with Steph. He knows there is no trade this team can make to be competitive with Denver. AD, Trey, and LBJ is a disaster. End of an era. Do you guys think that this is really the end of this era? Like, do you think we have missed, like, you know, either this is it right now or we missed it and didn't want to acknowledge it?
I think we get one more year of LeBron and AD probably at, you know, LeBron at least at the whatever peak this is, top 10, you know, in the league. I think AD can kind of consistently see it at this play, but I think if we get one more year, I think the whole roster is going to flip. End of an era. I think it's the end of the Austin D'Lo Rui era, which I know that didn't mean much to a lot of people, but it was, you know, cool to at least have
the Austin D'Lo Rui era.
Yeah.
What was that?
Like... just a little, you know, consistency that, you know, stayed over for that lasted one season, but I think it's the end of that, at least. I'm pretty sure they're going to flip this whole roster upside down for whoever they can get. But
this
I think
is the
LeBron
down,
and AD.
Like, I this is Jimmy Butler. Bummer.
There's your sort of bigger guard, like, / wing, ready to ramp it up. They have another guy who's ready to ramp it up once the play-in game starts, you know?
This is the bummer, though, is that, like, because I still do think that this roster, as constructed, now injuries play a role in this too, but I do still think that this roster was capable of a lot more than it's showing right now. Like, that's where I laughed at Raj and Cooper in the Silver Screen and Roll Slack back when I was when we were there, and they were calling that year a juggernaut in Austin's rookie season.
That wasn't me. That was Cooper. I didn't call.
I think Cooper was the one that said juggernaut. We missed the playoffs
Raj
altogether.
A good team in here.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's a.
Yeah, Cooper was calling that team a juggernaut. And
I think you're being a little unfair to Cooper. He said that there is a good team potentially in here with, like, this team went off
the actual word juggernaut.
I don't think juggernaut was that year. It couldn't have been.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It was.
No, unfortunately it was.
It wasn't the 20. It wasn't last year?
Yeah, no. You know, I mean, look, you can't win them all. Like, you know.
Sure.
but no, like, I this is the bummer here, though, is that, like, yeah, I made the joke a second ago about, like, the Austin Rui and who was the other one?
D'Lo.
Yeah, that error or era, whatever. But, like, I do think that, you know, if they approach this deadline differently, if because, like, there was all this hang up and, like, oh man, what are they going to do without D'Lo's creation? He's been super creative in his ways to, you know, blow this series to hell. But, like, I that
well,
was a part
Anthony,
of this.
To be fair, they wouldn't have been able to hang in for the number 8 seed without D'Lo's creation. I don't
right. think. But, like this is the part of it that like drives me crazy, is though, like, they basically this year was another grand experiment. Remember the first grand experiment when LeBron was here was Magic Johnson getting a whole bunch of creators, not shooters, but creators to surround LeBron. And remember the report immediately after the season when he was asked how he felt about that grand experiment. LeBron's direct quote, again, directly quoting this, his quote was like, that was actually the quote that he gave to analyze that grand experiment
before LeBron got his groin hurt.
We got to make the greatest SSR quote graphic of all time, which was via Dave McMenamin. And
yet, like, this was another grand experiment, right? They pursued the superstar. That was a disaster with Russ. They said, okay, screw it. We're going to go with depth. They had some success with depth, and they went, all right, we're going to double down on depth and continuity going into this season. Unfortunately, the head coach didn't get the memo, missed that email chain, and now they're going to blow it up again, and they're going to pursue a star again, where I don't think it's possible with the CBA as it's currently written. I don't think it's possible to put together an optimized roster with three max contracts. I just think it's too difficult. That third star has to be an absolutely perfect fit and willing to do the small things. And other than being small, Trae Young has never been willing to do the small things. That has never happened.
You also need LeBron to be the energy guy, right? Like, you need LeBron to do the hustle and energy and physical toll stuff that I just don't think he can do at this age anymore, even at the highest level, even when he wants to. There are, like, so many times he's trying to box out Aaron Gordon, box out Jokic. Like, those are things that are really tough to kind of put on the plate of LeBron, but it's only him and Rui, and Rui's just not built that way. He just, as much as he wants to be, as much as he tries to rev that motor up, there's just, it just fluctuates way too much. So I think you need to build a team that kind of can help LeBron in those weaknesses. But yeah, if they go after another guard, it's just, I think the defense is gonna be awful. You're again going, I think again, we forget how awful the minimum signings are. Forget the regular signings, forget the trades they did not do. The minimum signings, the Trevor Ariza that I'm still waiting for, Carmelo Anthony, DeAndre Jordan, right?
We know
somehow
this is all 1 year.
Yeah,
Melo was fine. Minimum.
Melo was fine.
I will say, Melo was fine.
He was a starting power forward.
Melo outperformed a minimum contract.
He did, but he could not. Really, all downhill.
Pump fake that free throw. Yeah, like
he had a great first month, and it was terrible after that first month.
He was on a minimum contract. You know, he outperformed a minimum contract.
I don't know if
he doesn't. He doesn't pick up any of the weaknesses from LeBron though. Like he doesn't pick up any of the defensive weakness. He never tags the role man. He rebounds sometimes when the ball's around him. He says, "Get the f out of here." Like, yeah, like I get it. Like, it's cool when he says that, but like, he doesn't really box out. He goes, grabs the rebound.
Okay, we don't need to be litigating Melo's fit.
Yeah, I didn't
Lakers.
Expect you to go full Stephen A. Smith, Kwame Brown rant on Melo, the minimum.
I was higher. Raj,
you're right. Like,
Melo.
The Lakers didn't hit on any minimums this year. Like, that was a huge
miss. So, like, if you get another star, I feel like that's the route we go to
didn't
again.
Really hit on any of their exception signings either.
Yeah. Gabe was hurt.
Oh, well, they never do.
Yeah. The next one here, actually, Sabrina, this one's right up your alley here. This is from Arlie Villasenor. This has to be the most embarrassing moment in my Lakers fandom since 1999. No fight. I'm ready for super David Ham comments at this pressure. We read them already. But Sabrina, I go to you on this because you're the resident encyclopedia. Is this the lowest that you have seen the Lakers?
That I've seen the Lakers, like, physical, like, body language and all of that.
Yeah, like, you know, is this up there for you, at least in the most embarrassing moments of your Lakers fandom tonight? You know, basically quitting in, you know, a game that was.
I mean, I wouldn't say they quit. I think they played just as hard as they did in games one and two. I didn't really think they quit, but let's see. So, like, worst moments of my fandom, you know, 2008 game four, that was tough.
Well, there's definitely worse moments than this. Yeah.
Tim Thomas game 2006.
Well,
that
worse,
was
worse is different than most embarrassing.
Embarrassing, do you consider embarrassing, like when, you know, Magic Johnson came and gave that press conference before game 82 in 2019. That was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
Let's see. The whole, like, Mike D'Antoni, Phil Jackson thing was pretty embarrassing. dangling Pau Gasol as trade bait for multiple trade deadlines, pretty embarrassing.
In retrospect, the LeBron-Russ Instagram tour, all the haters say this isn't going to work. Pretty embarrassing.
Pretty embarrassing.
Like, less so at the time, but, like, definitely in retrospect.
The whole Russ era, I think, is more embarrassing than this.
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed by this.
It's not that embarrassing. I mean, they played,
like,
hard
I'm
for
embarrassed
the first two
by
games.
Darvin, but, like, I'm not embarrassed by the effort of the Lakers as a whole, which I think is more important to me than our head coach.
All right, Jason Kelly, Ham is like the entitled kid whose dad bails them out.
That's why the Lakers love him.
I'm not disagreeing. Justin Tindall writing, Ham cannot make halftime adjustments. First half of the series was a plus 22. The second half is a minus 42. Thank you, AD, for your honesty. 32, 32, and 33 points. If you and AD, or if you... and AD had any help.
I think if they met LeBron, I think they just had a typo.
Yeah, if you and LeBron had any help, they would have a series lead. I mean, like, that's the thing is that, like, you know, we made the point earlier about how offensive it is that LeBron and AD have to prove that they are worth investing into while the Lakers drag their feet at every turn and actually investing into them. They have never actually put all of their chips on the table for LeBron and AD. It has not happened. They have not put, like, you know, when they traded Russ, they left an extra first rounder there for the upcoming offseason. And then when they decided, you know, after the Russ thing was a disaster, they chose not to trade Russ because they didn't want to move all of their assets to trade him. When they, you know, this last deadline, they decided that they wanted to keep their powder dry for this upcoming offseason. And if I had asked you guys, the likelihood it is that or that you feel that the Lakers are actually going to fully commit all of those assets to LeBron and AD here to give them one last chance at a title this year, I don't feel great about it. I think they'll probably do something to you know, give them a little more of a chance, but they have three first rounders that they can move this year. If I was to set the over under at 2.5, what would you guys do? Like, I'd say under.
100%. Well, I
you're gonna sell that 1.5.
Yeah. I mean, what player on the market is gonna be worth three? You know, like, I'm just not sure that. I mean, I guess that player will be there. There's always someone, but I don't know who it is right now.
Mitchell probably costs you three, I'm guessing, yeah, to get him off Cleveland. But he's the guy I'd rather go at.
I would much rather go after him than Trey.
Me too.
But it doesn't have to be one player, though. I mean, it says something about the Lakers that we immediately jump to that, right? That's the only assumption that we are capable
KD
of making there.
Out.
What's that?
LeBron and KD team up?
I personally would like to do it for Steph.
They're out of the playoffs. They may need to send him to a team that's actually focused on winning, you know? And the Lakers were really focused on winning their play-in game to go up against the best because they don't duck any smoke.
Yeah, way too much. All right, so that was Justin. All right. Brandon Oming writing, I'd keep AR, but trade D'Lo, Rui, and some picks, hoping the Clippers lose in the first round so we could try to get Ty Lue. Keep AR, Max, Vando, Bron, and AD. What do we think happens with Max?
I mean, he's restricted, so the Lakers will probably keep him, right?
I guess it depends on sort of who they hire as the coach and, like, what they think, like, what that person thinks of Max, probably, because it seems like the front office likes him, but, like, you know, it's like if Darvin's back as coach, like, why even keep him? You know, it's clear that Darvin doesn't think he can play.
Because he's an asset. Well, can't just let assets go away.
But I'm saying from their perspective, like, they could then use that, you know, minimum contract to sign, you know, I don't know, maybe Melo comes back. I don't, like...
Max is better.
Right guy writes, absolutely no reality where Ham is back. Seriously. Also, what team in the NBA is giving D'Lo more than his option? Ham back means Lakers want LBJ out. I'm here to say, I know that, like, I know in moments like this, it's easy to be kind of nihilistic or whatever and just think that he is going to be gone or be back next year. I know I was a person who wrote earlier this week that a first round exit may not be enough to see him gone. But I think that was the organization at that point kind of test ballooning something, and they have seen what the response to that might be like. And I think there will be internal.
Do you think they noticed tonight what the response to that was?
Well, if Jeannie was still there, right? Like, she'll sometimes leave in the third quarter. But like I would say that there is enough
mindset internal... shame Jeannie. Like, you're just like, she's not locked in for the fourth quarter, you know. Just she's not staying there to go down.
I mean,
with
she
the
must
shit.
Have heard the booze during the lineups at least. Like, this is the one thing they care about is public perception, right? And they don't want to be embarrassed by their home fans.
Yeah. All I'm saying
is promote Aaron chant started at the next game.
Keep an eye out for my next thing for Lakers Daily, and I will offer more clarity on the Darvin Ham thing. All right, Lakers Sean saying, finish game four with the all big lineup. That would be funny. Vanderbilt's healthy, Cam miraculously heals, and the Lakers start game four with all of the wings like they did that one game.
Vando at point guard. Let's go.
I mean, just see Max Christie?
It's not a joke. We did that, Harrison.
Yeah.
Can I just see Max once? Like, Once? I can't get one, like one max appearance? Not
one. You get Maxwell Lewis. That's what's going to happen before Max Christie takes the court.
I need to know what Max did to Darvin Ham. I need to know. Like, did he accidentally break his coffee?
He hit his shots too. That's what's sad. Like, I remember in Summer League, Darvin gave all these quotes. Like, Max is a big part of our team. I know people don't care about Summer League, but like, our whole Summer League was basically to give Max on ball reps. He shot the corner three on spot ups around 41%. I thought he defended his defended his position really well. He defended Donovan Mitchell one game that got us a win in Cleveland. I don't know. Maybe because he just wore the reverse Grinches every game, and Darvin was just like, I don't know, had something to feel like, about.
No,
that,
we don't wear green in this organization. Sorry,
the reverse ones are red.
They're not even green; they're red.
Yeah, like, yeah,
He wears them every game. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know why he doesn't play.
Pignalio says coaching can't make this
guy,
team.
I gotta respect this guy. This is a Nuggets fan who has been in the comments the whole time. I respect that he gave you $2 just so that you would read his comment on the air. I gotta say, that is a solid troll. Respect.
You know what? I respect it too. Well done, Pignalio. Good luck.
Yeah, man, please don't give us $50 in the super comment.
I dare you.
That would hurt my feelings more than anything.
Rye Guy writes, getting up at 4 a.m. every day, having a good attitude, and being Kobe's BFF doesn't make you a good GM. Magic tried warning y'all when he resigned. This hurts. Actually pains me to say this, but Magic.
It's sort of like the worst GM you know made a good point. You know, it's like.
We need to make that graphic. Like, it's Magic. Like. Oh, man. Two more here. Gorilla says, should we try to get Mikal Bridges this offseason? He is my fever dream. Like, he's the guy I would give up two first rounders for. I'd even consider giving up three for him. Like, that guy, he is absolutely perfect for what the Lakers need.
You didn't watch much of the Nets this year. Yeah, I think two is about where I'd cap it.
Two is about right. Yeah.
Next to, well, I look, the Nets didn't watch much of the Nets, but like
to put him next to good players, and the Nets were
If you have him next to LeBron and next to Anthony Davis, he completes what the Lakers need. He makes so much more sense. Like, if I have to give up three first rounders for Donovan, if I have to give up three first rounders for Trey, I would much rather give up three first rounders for Mikal Bridges by a lot. Like, that's not even a question to me.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Give me the bigger players like that. Like, this is something
if they
that
have
the Lakers
to spend all of them at once, you know, then I guess in this scenario.
He's the Aaron Gordon of wings. Like, he's like the perfect role player wing. Like, on Phoenix, that's the exact role he played. And I think Brooklyn miscast him. But yeah, he's the perfect
role. AD would finally have a good perimeter defender in front of him. Like, imagine how many defensive player of the year votes he could finally get, you know?
He at one point had two of them. He had KCP and Caruso. And sometimes
and playoff run, though.
And Zoo.
And they won a championship. All right. Cognitive dissonance. Writes, what do you guys think about replacing D'Lo with DeRozan? And we are done.
No, Anthony, actually, hold on. You just got my favorite super comment of all time. You got to read this one. Oh, no.
What do you guys think about replacing D'Lo with DeRozan and moving Rui/Gabe for a more physical 4/5 like Jonathan Isaac or Claxton? Claxton, okay. Jonathan Isaac, I don't think is on the menu for.
I don't know that he's coming to LA, you know, like, not voluntarily, I'll say.
Yeah, I think he loves it in Florida. Loves it.
Real
in
culture
Florida.
Fit.
Could potentially go to Phoenix. I could see him going to
honestly,
one of the Texas
I think
teams.
He's probably the most untouchable player on the roster to Magic ownership. Just saying.
Just those ownership chats are probably really, really worth it to them. All right. Thank you guys for hanging in here. We have 5,600 people in here somehow watching this. Please do hit that subscribe button. If you're watching live on YouTube right now, if you're on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find where we offer up our musings basically every day at this point. Yeah, the Lakers season is probably going to end on Saturday, but that just means that there's going to be a whole bunch to talk about, i.e., a coaching vacancy. And
do you
then
think the
from
Lakers
there
play harder on Saturday to avoid, to just like get the gentleman sweep, to avoid like the outright sweep, stop the streak, whatever, or in the in-season tournament?
No, I think I don't think they care about being swept or getting the
banners hang forever, Harrison.
That's true. There's no 500k bonus for not getting swept.
Yeah,
Lakers,
I think they,
again, I remind you, have never won a game down 3-0 in franchise history.
Time to shock the world, baby. Let's go.
Have many teams won those games? I guess more teams.
Not very
win,
many. I mean, there's been some.
I mean, a lot of them
many
do. Like, I think about the Lakers going up like 3-0 against the Suns, you know, during their first title run, and Phoenix takes game four and then you win in five. Like, that happens all the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it's probably
some
more
teams,
regular.
Like, you know, the team that's up 3-0 plays with their food, and the team that's down 4-0, like 3-0, just says, like, no. Like, you're not beating us at home. You can beat us in Europe.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like last year, Boston won 3 games down 3-0. In the Eastern Conference Finals, right?
And then lost. It was beautiful.
Yes.
My favorite moment of last year's postseason. Even though the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals.
I would probably pick the Lakers game four as my favorite, but it's fair.
Nope. It was watching Boston make it all the way back and then just kick their fans in the nuts again. It was beautiful.
I hope the season extends, and I don't want it to end. Like, let's extend it.
Why,
let's get it
Raj,
to Monday.
What about
Why?
This is enjoyable for you, Raj?
Why?
You That's all I got. I just don't want this to end.
Raj is like in the hospital. He's like, no, rip the band-aid off a little slower.
Let's get this back to Denver. Make them earn it at home, is all I'm saying. Just make them earn it at their house. Let's get one more game.
They have earned
it. I don't
want
to see a bunch of happy Denver fans. Like, I think if the Lakers won game four, you'd get boos from the crowd. Like,
no,
we'd be done here. I don't want to do this anymore.
No, they, yeah, come on.
I know, I'm kidding.
That's a little far.
A little.
No, I don't know if LeBron and AD will be on the flight to Denver, but like at least extend it to.
If the Lakers won game four, would they allow Darvin on the plane to Denver?
Well, why would they? Because at that point, if they've won game four, that means they fired him and they've replaced him with interim coach Phil Handy, who's going to lead them all the way back. Again, it's planned dead cat bounce. I've had worse plans that I've advocated for on this show.
I'm rooting for
what's that saying? Dead cat bounce? What'd you say? Dead cat bounce?
Dead cat bounce. One of my favorite moments in podcast history is when I incorrectly used the phrase with Harrison and somebody emailed to tell me that I incorrectly used it.
No, it basically means like, Raj, if you drop a dead cat out of a window and it hits the ground, it's going to bounce and it's going to look like it's alive for a second, but it's not actually. And so is sort of like what it's like when a team that's dead fires their coach. You know, the players, they bounce back up for a second when they hit the ground because they're just like, man, at least that guy's gone. We could play hard again. And then
the problem is just the team fall back to their level of
talent.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're the dead cat.
Yes. Correct. In this case, yes. Yes.
Perfect. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Chapalu. That was Harrison Fagan, and that was Sabrina Merchant, who I greatly, greatly appreciate. Harrison only hopped on here to torture Raj temporarily.
Well, then once Sabrina joined, I was like, "No, this is going to be fun."
Just a good hang. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a good hang. I hope you guys had as much fun as we did. I did a whole bunch of laughing, and that made me feel a lot better. Not so better that like I'm looking forward to being up for the next hour or so editing all of this, but you know, so I feel a lot better than I did, you know, an hour ago. But again, Raj, Sabrina, Harrison, it is always a blast. It is always really, really fun here. The Lakers have one more game left this Saturday. And if they lose, the plan is probably to hop on here and begin the rebuilding that is going to need to take place this upcoming offseason. And so until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We will talk to you tomorrow.